The Holy Spirit wants to work in your guys' life, man. And you guys ready for this, man? In the book of Acts, we're going to talk about John, and we're going to talk about Peter. But we're going to talk about how the church grew last week, daily, and people were being saved. In Acts chapter 2, it happened where daily people were walking with one accord, and they were in the temple, they were breaking bread from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people. You see, and the Lord added daily. And that's what it's about, man. It's about that koinonian, the fellowship with one another. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this growing in his word, Father. Lord, we're just blessed that you, Father, can be here today and come through the Holy Spirit. We call upon you, Holy Spirit, that you may be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we're going to see 5 points. Listen. A man is healed, a message is going to be preached, and people need to repent, and God's going to use us. He's going to show us what it really means to be a believer and what the word's about. Listen, it's about getting out there and praying for one another and allowing the Holy Spirit to heal people spiritually. Listen, God wants to use you, and whether it's physical, spiritually, God will do it. Listen, in chapter 3, a lame man is healed, but Peter and John are two different people. Listen, you could take another person with you another believer who has a different kind of character, but God's going to use you guys. Listen, John and Peter were two different men with the same mission. That is to be out about God's business, man. Are you guys ready? Welcome to Growing in His Word, man. God is radical, and he's moving in chapter 3. Peter and John, they went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, at the ninth hour. It was 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, because God's going to do something beautiful. Okay? And they laid daily, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Verse 3 says that, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Verse 4 says, in fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting him to receive something from them. Okay? In Israel, you can't beg for money. You have to look with a sad begging eye, because it's against the law to beg over there, especially in front of a temple. In fact, one time I was in front of a church in a temple, and the guy was like whooshing the beggar away. And the guy came up to me and was asking for shekels. And he had his hand out, and he would chase me with his hands, you know, like he was going to beat me with his hands, but he was begging. But he, listen, so I could see how Peter said, look at us. Now, listen to this. So verse 5 says, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. I mean, he's got his hands out. You know, he thinks he's going to drop some shekels in there, or maybe, 200 shekels. Whatever it may be. But then verse 6 says, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now let's stop at 7 and listen to this. You notice they were both walking, John and Peter, they were walking to the synagogue to pray. It is critical that we believers pray to God and ask him to give us what he wants. Only God is going to do a miracle here today, because the beggar has been carried there ever since he was basically since birth. Now in the Judaism and the Hebrew culture, they believed back then that if you had a disability, that you were some kind of cursed family member. And that you were not equal to other people. That back then, not now. However, Jesus didn't feel that way. I mean, this chapter is going to blow you away. Listen, they prayed together. They stayed together. John and Peter. Peter was like, whoosh, on fire. Like, he was like, man, the sword in the hand. I'll cut your ear off, man. Get away from me. Kind of characteristic, man. But listen, John was more of a relaxed guy. He was more mellow. I wish I was more mellow. It would really be cool, but this is my character that God gave me. So they come down, they're praying. Listen, they're praying. They're praying, which is important, because I want you to jot this down. Listen, podcast note takers, listen. They prayed, and God's going to heal, and they witness, and then they talk about repentance. This is the key. Listen. The lame man was laid near the gate called Beautiful, because this gate opened into the court of the basically of the outer court and the synagogue, and the front door was right there to the temple, and it was right there. It was a beautiful gate, would basically be a perfect place for to position the beggar to be there, so when people came out, they'd see the guy like, oh, poor guy, you poor man. But see, what's crazy is some people, some ministries believe that they can get on TV, put people in a wheelchair, line up people at their church, and then when they're done taking their money, raking their cash, you know, they get back on their jets. Fly to Hawaii, man. Woo, we just scored, man. You see all that phony baloney? And it's sad. And so, as we see, John and Peter, they're going, and they're telling them, look, we ain't got no money, man. We ain't got no silver. But we prayed for you in the church and the temple. Listen, listen. And God is going to heal this man. Watch this. Listen. Listen, he's going to hear. This is a radical chapter, because John's about to go into the temple and he asks for alms, and fixing his eyes on him. Listen to this. With John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name, authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise, get up and walk. It's the authority of Jesus Christ who heals people, not these quackers at the church who had these false people that get up there and say, oh, Jesus will heal you. We know about that's baloney. Listen, you know, I was in a park one day. I was sitting in the park reading my Bible. And I took to my right, my left, looked over. It was a beautiful day. Beautiful day. And I'm sitting there. And there's a woman there, about 70 years old, and her man, her husband was about 74. And they had this trailer. And I'm like, well, it's a nice trailer, you know? And she's like, yeah, my husband. She was pushing her husband in a wheelchair. And I said, wow, what brings you out here? You need some help here? Let me help you out. And, you know, the guy was crippled. He was handicapped, disabled. And she said, oh, well, you know, we came out here. I'm not going to say no names. Praise the Lord Ministries. I'm not going to say no names about, you know, whatever. But I begin to talk to these people. And the lady tells me, we went to a tent revival. And God, you know, the pastor told us that if we sell everything and give it to him, that my husband will be able to walk again. I'm not kidding you, man. This really happened. And I said, you're kidding me. Are you kidding me? No, and he's still handicapped, and we're broke, and we're in a park. I said, that's crazy. Are you serious? Yeah, we're serious. Get your money back. We don't know how. Well, I seen that pastor, and I told him about what they had done to him. I said, you need to give that money back to him. Give it back, or I'm going to call the FBI. And he was upset at me, and I said, you're a fake, you're a fraud. Listen, give the money back to the people. It's wrong. Jesus Christ doesn't want your money. It's not a false sideshow where you can make fun of God and pretend that you're a pastor and you're healing people in the name of Jesus and you're asking people for money and you get back on your Learjet and justify it by saying, God doesn't want us to
to be poor. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. It's called faith. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You ever see that on TV? Rise, brother, rise. It makes me upset, man. Listen, don't give your money to these people. Keep it. Keep it. It's not going to heal you. If you want to be healed, Jesus will do the work. You don't need man. Man is just an instrument. Listen, believers, listen to me. Man is an instrument. Pastors are instruments. They're vessels. They are not, I repeat, they're not God. They don't deserve any glory. They don't deserve any glory at all. In fact, a lot of pastors don't like me because I tell them to get a job. I have one. You get one. They don't like it. Well, that's rude. You call yourself a pastor? Yeah, I walked up to another pastor. He said, hey, listen, how come you don't have a building? I said, because God's not trapped in walls, brother. But churches are good. Some. Read Revelations, the Church of Philly. Listen, some churches are good. I'm not saying, hey, don't go to church anymore. I'm not saying that. God says not to forsake the gathering. I know I'm going to get emails. I know that. Listen, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is quit acting like you're something when you're not. Jesus doesn't care about you wanting to be glorified. He wants the glory. Jesus wants the glory. Pastors, deacons, will you give him the glory? Will you step back and get out of the way and stop being controlative and saying me, 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 and say, no, it's about others, 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 others? That's what Peter and John did. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Start lifting up people, not yourself. Hey, I'm sorry. This is what God put on my heart this morning. Listen. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And verse 8 says, so he leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Now he's in the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. They're probably thinking, how'd this guy leap into here, man? Are you kidding me? Can you imagine they're praying, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, and this dude's going, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach. They're probably looking at him like, what? Oh my God, get out of here, man. What are you doing here? I'm sorry, I'm excited, you guys. Listen, it's exciting. And we're living in an exciting time. There's a lot of phony balonies out there, man. They want to mail you a handkerchief, cry on it, and say it was Jesus Christ's tears. It's dried up, but wet it a little bit, and it'll come back to you. Or mail me the money. Mail me your cash and your legs will be healed. Stop. Man, that's an old trick. Listen, Jesus Christ doesn't want your money. I'm going to tell you something. Get your notes. He doesn't want your money. He wants you to come to him and love him. Listen, we're going to talk about how he wants to spiritually heal us. It's about spiritual healing, man. And yes, God can heal physically. I've seen it. I've seen it in hospitals, man. I go pray for them and God heals them. Wow, how'd that happen? Well, doctors, they go to college. And, you know, they do 4 years and then 4 years there and then 15 years total and they're doctors. And God uses them to heal, like Luke. But it's by God allowing that to happen. You try taking a scalpel to a heart and replacing a heart valve. Jesus is guiding the way. No, he isn't. I went to college. Hey, I've seen surgeons that I've talked to that says, I don't know how it happened, man, but it's there. It's a miracle. Something grew in the right place. God wants to grow you in his word. It's growing in his word. That's the key. Not growing in Pastor Joseph or growing in Pastor this or Pastor that or Pastor Church or Pastor that. It's about Jesus, man, and what you do with them. Listen, God doesn't like cowards. He wants you to be on fire and loving. Well, I can't be on fire. It's not my character. Then get on your knees and pray. They prayed. Listen, this is what it's about. Listen, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Listen, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaping in verse 8, He leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. He was praising God, not praising man. He was praising God, not praising man. You notice he says he was praising God? Why? Because he knew God did it. And all the people saw him walking. They seen it. Look, we're reading about it. And praising God. Verse 10 says, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what just happened to him. Can you imagine? They're just looking at him like, whoa, that guy was like crippled, man. That dude couldn't even walk. They were carrying him. He's walking. It's amazing. God wants us to be spiritually walking, spiritually set free from the bondage of sin. And we can. God is allowed. Listen, no takers. God has allowed two men, Peter and John. Two different mindsets. Two different characters. Two different. Mellow and yellow, man. And he took these two characters, put them in the same mind. Listen. And they're about his business, going around, spreading the gospel, doing it with love, doing it with mercy. They're doing it for free. Yeah, that's capital F-R-E-E. They're not saying if you don't tithe, you're going to hell. Malachi 3 beating you over the head with that verse. No, they're not. If they're not tithing, you're robbing God. Yeah, I don't like that either from pastors. You know? Dude, go sing that to the choir. Look, it's not about money. They're going about Jesus. They're doing what he wants. Listen, this was set up. It was a setup. You were born as a setup. God knew you. He foreknown the ones he predestined. God knew you before you were born. Listen. God knew who you were. Yes, I'm talking to you. Listener. The one who's listening to this, my voice right now, God foreknown you. He knew you. In your mother's womb. And they carried this guy. He was crippled from his mother's womb. Listen. God's got a plan for you. I'm not messing around. Listen, he's going to heal you spiritually so that you can go around and be about his business. Listen, it's, you know, the guy was begging at the beautiful gate. He's now walking. And now we have a problem. Look, there's always a problem. You know, it's God does something and there's always a problem. Somebody wants to bag on you or do something. You know, oh, God's working. You know, it wasn't really a miracle, man. They just drugged that guy in from the back door. No, the dude was broken down, man, from birth. Everyone knew him. Trust me. I know. Listen, I know Jerusalem very well. Everybody knows each other. It's a very small town. Wait, they knew who he was. They knew where he was. They knew his mom. Trust me, the synagogue has everybody's names. They knew what was going on. But listen to this. Listen to this. Listen. There's a problem because now that this guy's being healed and Jesus has already been crucified. He died already and he rose again and he's still alive. His Holy Spirit, the helper which he has left, is now working through John and Peter. And now the miracle is happening and they knew that they knew what was going on. And verse 11 says, and now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter. He held on to Peter and John. You see? He held. Write that down. Note takers. Mark it. Held. Held on to Peter. Peter and John are thinking, don't hold on to me. Hold on to Jesus because he did the miracle. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people and he said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intensely at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? We didn't do anything, man. It was God. He's trying to tell him, look, man, we had nothing to do with it. We told you. You laughed at us. You locked us up. You persecuted us. You didn't want what God wanted. You tried to stop Jesus Christ from working in your life. You doubted him. You doubted him, and you thought that he would just go away. Listen. You thought that Jesus Christ would just go away. Kill him, seal the tomb, and he'll go away. No, it's not going to happen. Crack the beer, drink it, and in the morning it'll go away. No, it's not going to happen. Your addiction is still there. Listen, your addiction is still there. You can't stop. Let me repeat that. You cannot stop the power of Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you guys ready for this? You want to know the big secret? Here's the big secret. Faith. If you have faith, you really can walk on water. Send me $20. I'm just kidding. I gotcha. No, listen. It's not about anything but Jesus. It's about faith. Faith is the substance. Is in Hebrews 11. That's your homework. Read it. If you have faith, God will heal you, whether it's spiritually or physically. It's up to Him. Ultimately, it's up to God to heal you, whether it's final destination or whatever it is. But He's not done with you. He has a home for you. Heaven is real and Jesus wants you there. Listen, because He loves you. And here Peter and John is just saying, look, God did this to draw your attention to this porch. We're on Solomon's porch now. I know it's kind of disrespectful, you think, but it's not. Rabbis and all you people, Judaizers and some members of the Sanhedrin, you can't stop the gospel. You cannot stop the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. You cannot stop the power of God going through about Jerusalem and the ends of the world. You cannot stop a believer from believing that Jesus loves them and wants to grow in them and show in them and do many things in them. You can't stop it. Don't even try, man. It's like a roller coaster. You know, you can ever get on a roller coaster, man, and you're like, you want to puke. You try to raise your hand. What are you raising your hand for, man? We ain't stopping. Dude, you got to go all the way now. I'm going to barf. Oh, well, we got buckets for that. You can't stop God from being glorified. He wants the glory. Man is just a vessel. We are just His vessel. He is the one. He's the one. Peter saw it. It's about Jesus. People are together. We love, you know, they're there. They're sitting there and they're amazed. They're greatly amazed. They're on Solomon's porch. Peter saw it. He responded to the people and he told them, men of Israel, you're laughing, man, but check this out. Listen, it's going to be radical. Listen. He's telling them, look, why are you looking at me so intensely? Listen, why are you intensely looking at us, man? Listen, you don't know? You know. Verse 12 says, so when Peter saw it, let's start at 11. Look, now as a lame man who was healed, he held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon. So they ran together. They were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intensely at us? As though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant, Jesus, among you. Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Man, they wanted Barnabas, remember? They wanted a murderer instead. He was telling them. Verse 15 says, You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whom which we are witnesses. Look, he's saying you can't kill God, man. You can't kill God. You can't stop His mission, and you can't stop His plans for your life. That's what he's saying. And God's healing this man. God healed this man so that you guys could be blessed by us today on this porch, and so that we can tell you how much Jesus Christ loves you. And I'm telling you right now, me, Pastor Joseph, God loves you guys. He has a plan for you. Okay? He's got a plan for you. He's saying, listen, will you stop and trust in me and not man? Will you trust in what I'm doing in your life? Will you get your word? Okay? I'm not dead. Listen, will you have faith in me? We're going to stop in verse 16. Okay? Actually, we're going to read the rest and we're going to talk about it and then we're going to stop. Listen. He said, verse 15 says, and he killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we were witnesses. Verse 16, and his name through faith, and his name has made this man strong. It was faith whom you see and know. Yes, the faith. You see that? Write that down. Faith, which comes through him, has given him this perfected soundness in the presence of all you. You all, you guys. Listen, wow. He's telling them, look, repent of your sins. Jesus Christ wants to restore you. He wants to restore you. You may laugh and you may think that you're not ready to be used. God wants to use you, man. Listen, he's not done with you guys. You may be alone, or you may feel sad, or whatever it is. I'm not doing no psychic thing here, man. I'm giving it to you. Jesus Christ has a plan for you. He died for you. He wants you to enter into a relationship with you, with him. He's ready. He's saying, I want to restore your ankles spiritually so you can walk. So you can get up, come to church, go to a real church, verse by verse, non-denominational, hopefully. Ask for the statement of faith. Go to church, bring your family to church. Lift up your legs, spiritually legs, and walk. And do what God has called you. You don't have to go to, I mean, it's not a law, you got to go to church. But get restored spiritually. And get out there and be about his business. It's better if you go and you find other people to study with. Don't be alone. Women, go out there and find a woman's Bible study. Men, do the same. But you have to get spiritually restored. And this is what Peter and this is what John is doing. They're trying to restore the church, the synagogue. They're trying to restore non-believers, and many people were turned out. You see that? They were converted from Judaism to Jesus. And I'm not saying to go to synagogues and convert Jews. I'm saying be light. Allow Christ in you to shine and shine before others. Be the light so that Christ in you can be glorified. It's not about man. It's not about the circus smiley show. It's not about quotes and tickle my ear message. It's about God's word, and that we understand it verse by verse, and that we apply it to our life. We observe the verse, we interpret it, God does, and we apply it to our lives. Listen, we observe the verse, we interpret it, and we apply it. Peter and John went up to pray. We should go up and pray. Let's interpret it and then we apply it. Listen, Jesus wants us to enter into a relationship with him spiritually. Get on your knees. Read your word. This is a task for you all week. Get on your knees. Worship him. Get the music on. Worship Jesus. Restore your life. Christ will do it for you. But you got to restore. You got to put your work in, man. It's not about works. We're not talking about Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormon. I'm talking about you got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. You have to say yes. I want to be a doer and not a hearer. Like the book of James. When a man looks into a mirror, he observes his natural face, and then he forgets about what he observes. We can't do that. We can't turn the blind eye. Listen, we have to allow the Holy Spirit in our life to work in our life so that we can be a blessing to others. That's what you were made for. Jesus made you to bless others spiritually. And if you have to physically, God will do the work. And he will get the what? That's right, glory. We're just vessels in a big ocean, man. And God wants the glory. Will you give it to him? We all have to answer to God. Will you give it to him? I have. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we glorify your name, and only your name, Jesus, for the works that you do physically and spiritually. Lord, we are just vessels in a hurting world. Lord, take these gifts that you've given us, Father, and use them to spread out the gospel, Father, your gospel. It's not about us, Lord. You know, it's about you, Jesus. I'm praying to you right now, Holy Spirit. I'm coming to you, Holy Spirit, in love, Father, and I'm asking you to work in the lives of the believers and even non-believers, Father. Do what you do best, Father. Glorify yourself, Father. We glorify you, Lord. We take none. No glory belongs to us. Father, you said it in Exodus 33. You'll share your glory with no man. you will share it with nobody. You, Father, are the one to be glorified, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for living in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. And thank you for logging on and growing in His Word, man. And man, we left off on verse 16. Next week, we're going to be going on, man. We're going to be moving on, man. It's going to be an amazing time, man. God bless you guys. And listen, man, you could check us out at growinginhisword.com or iHeartRadio. And yeah, man, we're on Pandora. Praise the Lord. All the glory to Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.